Chapter 4. At the far end of the service hangar sat a Sorosub Ermenong 300. Its unique three pods on a disc silhouette so distinctive that Luke could identify its model at a glance. Heavily armed and armored, the Ermi was the yacht of choice for anyone who valued security as well as luxury. So it wasn't unusual to see one at an upscale resupply depot like Crossing Lane Station. At the same time, the yachts were too expensive to be common, so it seemed likely that this one belonged to the person he had come to meet. And the fact that Luette Wool had yet to show himself suggested just how much the senator wanted to avoid being seen with Luke. Not that Luke could blame him. At the moment, the Jedi were almost pariahs in the Galactic Alliance, especially on the capital world. Most of Coruscant's citizens still held the Jedi responsible for the devastation their planet had suffered during the battle to dislodge Abeloth and her Sith minions. Nonetheless, Wool had agreed to the meeting, because he understood that the public wrath was misplaced. Without the Jedi, there would be little to prevent the Sith from returning in strength and trying again to subvert the Galactic Alliance. From the stern of the Jade Shadow came the muffled thump of a supply nozzle pushing into a load socket. R2-D2 tweedled from the droid station at the rear of the flight deck. Then a message appeared on the pilot's display, requesting permission to accept 1,000 liters of hyperdrive coolant. Luke confirmed that the routing valves were set properly, then opened the tank. "Go ahead, R2," he said. "But tell them to take it slow. I don't want any blowback corroding our hull." R2-D2 gave an affirmative whistle, and Luke watched the tank's status gauge start to rise. It was during quiet moments like these, sitting alone at the helm, that he still felt Mara's presence at his side. The Jade Shadow had been his wife's ship, and all too often, their temporary home, as one crisis or another, turned the Skywalkers into interstellar nomads. At the time, Luke would not have guessed that those periods of close living would be among his most cherished memories. But they were. The uninterrupted hours with his wife and son, the week-long stretches when the only faces he saw belonged to Mara and Ben. Now Mara was dead. And Ben was a Jedi Knight, only a bit younger than Luke had been when he began his training with Yoda. R2-D2 chirped again, and another message scrolled across the pilot's display. "The cleaning service requests permission to board." Luke hadn't ordered any services that required access to the interior of the vessel, but he was expecting a visitor. "Can you put up a vid of the cleaners?" The display switched to the image of a squat little Sullustan in a cap and blue overalls. He carried a bag of cleaning supplies slung over his shoulder. Beside him sat the multi-armed cylinder of a Sorosub JTR cleaning droid. Luke smiled. The Sullustan's face was hidden beneath the bill of his cap, but the cleaning droid was a dead giveaway. A Sullust-based manufacturing conglomerate, Sorosub was known for everything from its battlecruisers to its comlinks, but its cleaning droids had been an abysmal failure. Only Sullust's senator, who would never risk being seen with an item made by any of Sorosub's competitors, would have a JTR. "Permission granted," Luke said, rising. "Lower the boarding ramp, R2. By the time he went aft to meet his guests, the ramp was down and the cap-wearing Sullustan was leading the cleaning droid across the threshold. With heavily wrinkled dew flaps, rounded ears sagging forward, and deep circles ringing his huge dark eyes, he was clearly an elder of his species. And he was clearly Senator Luette Wool. He quickly caught Luke's gaze, then shot a glance toward the wall control